We started on our Good Friday service talking about Genesis 3, talking about what sin has done to us and why we need this weekend, why Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday is the highest of holidays for a Christian. So, and I've been kind of basing all weekend really on 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. So let me read that. It is up here behind me. "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So we have talked quite a bit from Genesis 3, both Friday and our early service this morning, because he says, Paul tells us right here, that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And so we went back and looked at Genesis 3, and in Genesis 3:15, God promises a Savior. God tells us that He will take care of our sin problem. And so that's where we started, where we've been up to this point. Because in Genesis 1, everything is good, right? God calls everything good. In Genesis 2, God calls everything good. And as a matter of fact, we see God and Adam and Eve walking in the garden together. We see everything is in perfect harmony. Mankind, God, nature, everything is in perfect harmony. Everything is focused on the Creator God. And so everything works. But then sin came into the world. And sin comes into the world and it changes everything. We talked about that in our earlier service today. We can no longer trust our thought life. Remember, the devil said, did God really say? And Eve doubts it. In fact, Eve adds to what God says. So her thought process is broken. Our thoughts are broken. We can't trust our thought life. And then we can't trust our desires because Eve follows her desires to what God said no to. God said, don't do this, and Eve followed her desires to that. Precisely as we do, right? Precisely as we do. So we can't trust our thoughts. We can't trust our feelings, our impulses, our emotions. And we have a wrong view of our physical bodies because they were immediately ashamed. And because they're ashamed, we are born in shame. And we literally live in shame. We're in shame of our bodies. God had to deal with these things. He had to deal with our thought problem, our emotion problem, our physical problem, and our relationship with Him was broken. Remember, what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They hid from God. And I know that sounds funny. They tried to hide from God. But we still do that too. And we'll see as we go on. So everything has been corrupted by sin. And our world is corrupted by sin. God curses the ground itself. So everything we eat, everything we drink is cursed with sin. Everything in the world is cursed by sin. Do you have any question in your mind that we live in a Genesis 3 broken world? All you have to do is read the paper. All you have to do is watch the news. And you can see we live in a broken world. We're a broken people living in a broken world. So in Genesis 3:15, God says, I will save you from this. I will, my son will die in your place for this. And so we spent most of the last two services on this idea of how Jesus crushes the head of the serpent, even though he is bruised and beaten and whipped and crucified, he crushes the head of the serpent in the death and resurrection. So I want to focus on the last part of this verse now. When in 1 Corinthians, when he says that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, what Scripture said that talks about the third day? Well, Psalm 16 verses 9 and 10 says, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. Peter, in his sermon in Acts, applies this psalm to Jesus, because Jesus is literally the only truly faithful one, isn't he? And so this is applied to Jesus. But why 3 days, right? Does this seem, have you ever asked, why 3 days? Does the same thing happen if he dies and comes back to life the next day? No, it doesn't actually. Three is important, actually, in Scripture. There's a lot that happens on the third day in Scripture. We've spent kind of the last two services in Genesis. So let me read you Genesis 1. It says, the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. So what is the third day in Genesis? The third day in Genesis is the beginning of life. A lifeless planet produced life on the third day. Huh. Maybe there's something to this third day. Then we have the example of Jonah, right? Jonah 1:17 tells us that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow him, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then what happens after that? The fish vomits him up, spits him out on the shore, and God says, now go do what I told you. Go preach. Go do what I sent you to do. And Jesus actually applies this to himself. In Matthew 12, he says, for as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So we have this three kind of set. Then we find in the prophet Hosea, it's a time of judgment of Israel. Israel is being judged by God. And Hosea in chapter 6 says this, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us and he will heal us. He has wounded us and he will bind up our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day he will raise us up so we can live in his presence. So you see, three is kind of important in Scripture, isn't it? How does God express himself? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three. How many were in Jesus' inner circle? Peter, James, John. Three. How long was Jesus' ministry? Three Passovers. What about, you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham takes his son Isaac and he's gonna slaughter Isaac. He's going to sacrifice Isaac. But when he gets there, after walking 3 days, he gets there, and Isaac is saved. He's saved by an angel of the Lord and by a ram stuck in a thicket. 3 days. In fact, it becomes known as the day of salvation. Just as in Genesis, because life begins, the third day becomes known as the day of life. So we have the day of life. We have the day of salvation, all in Scripture. How do the Jews express themselves? They're the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Threes. You see, three is a perfect number in Hebrew. It's a perfect number. There are several perfect numbers. There's three, which is divine perfection. There is seven, which is spiritual perfection. There's ten. Ten is ordinal perfection, as it's called. That means God's plan working through his people. 12 is governance perfection. Think 12 tribes of Israel running Israel. We have all of these perfect numbers. Three is a perfect number, divine perfection. So why was Jesus raised in 3 days? Because it was the day of life. Because it was the day of salvation. Because it's perfect in divine perfection. Our Savior is divine perfection, our life, and our salvation. Perfect in every way. Three means a lot. The third day matters. So the death and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. That third day changes everything. It heals our minds so that we can take every thought captive to Christ, so that we can trust our thoughts again. It gives us a new heart, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're a new creation. And so we can have a heart that desires what God wants. It changes our relationship with our body. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, our body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a vessel of shame. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The death and resurrection of Jesus literally changes everything. But the greatest change it makes is that we can be in relationship with God again. Because in Genesis 2, we have this perfect relationship of man, nature, and God. And then sin breaks that relationship. And now, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can have this relationship back with God. We can walk with God through life with our thoughts captive to Christ, with our hearts desiring what He desires, with our bodies understood as the temple of the Holy Spirit, in relationship with the God who created us. We get a Genesis 2 life after Genesis, in a Genesis 3 world, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is the proof of God's love for you. It is the proof of His grace. It is the proof of His forgiveness. And forgiveness is the key to every relationship. It's the proof that God loves you that much. The death and resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today. Now, you may be asking, why in the world did I spend Resurrection Weekend in Genesis 3? Why did I spend Resurrection Weekend talking about the fall of man? I'm going to tell you why. Because Genesis 3 isn't just something that happened to Adam and Eve at the beginning of the world. It happened in your life this week when you chose not to follow God, when your desires overtook you and you did something you know God doesn't want you to do, when you looked at your body and felt shame. It happened this week. Genesis 3 is not an ancient story. Genesis 3 is our present day. Genesis 3 is how we live apart from Christ, and how after we've come to Christ, it is the process we go through of taking every thought captive to Christ, of understanding and living a new life with our new heart, of understanding our bodies differently than we ever have, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 3 is not ancient history. Genesis 3 is today. That's why the death and resurrection of Jesus is so important. That's why we need this now. You know, we still today, we feel disappointment when we ask God for the win, but He wants us to learn something from the loss. We feel anger when we ask God for health and He gives us sickness, because He wants us to draw nearer to Him in sickness. We still fight this battle. We still want to ask, did God really say? For I passed on to you as the most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He raised again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is most important because it gives us an opportunity at a Genesis 2 life in a Genesis 3 world. Our world is broken. We are a broken people living in a broken world. We need this weekend. We need the death and resurrection of Jesus for us. We must have it in order to live again, walking with God, with every thought captive to Christ with a new heart that desires what God desires and a new outlook on our body as a vessel of the Holy Spirit, not a vessel of shame. We need this weekend. That's why it's most important. What I think is interesting about this is it all started with four words. Did God really say? And you know, Paul, in this verse, in 1 Corinthians 15, he takes "did God really say" and turns it on its ear. Because here he says, did God really say that my sin can be forgiven? Yes, he did. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did God really say that I can be back in right relationship with him? Yes, he did. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did God really say that I can defeat sin and I can even defeat death and be risen like Christ? Yes, he did in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can be completely healed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask that you bow your heads because I need to ask you this question. Are you healed? Are you in a right relationship with God? Are you healed? Are your thoughts taken captive for Christ? Are your emotions being run in a new heart? Do you see your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, not a vessel of shame? Are you healed? Because you can be this morning. Follow along with me in your own words, a simple prayer. God, I understand that I have sin in my life. I've said things wrong. I've thought things wrong. I've done things wrong. I've desired wrong things. But I'm going to trust that Jesus came and died for my sin according to the Scriptures. And that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm going to trust his finished work on the cross and his finished work in the empty tomb. Forgive me and come into my life, empower my life to live with new thoughts, with a new heart, with a new outlook on my body, with a new relationship with God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor. Let them know. Maybe this morning as you look back over the past week, it has been about Genesis 3, not about walking with God, taking every thought captive, living from a new heart. Will you take this moment and just ask God to help you refocus, reorient on him today? So that this coming week is oriented on him, in perfect relationship with him. Father, again, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you that we can gather today and celebrate a risen Lord. We celebrate what you have done for us. We celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.